Following is a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Hey, happy Monday to you and yours. Welcome on in to the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. A lot to get to from the weekend. Some Class A state tournament action on the Legion baseball side of things. Brown County Speedway, you had the Kids Night there presented by Kedden Super Fair Foods. Minnesota Twins, yep, they're still playing baseball as well. They lose their fifth consecutive series coming out of the All-Star break, this time to the Guardians. But they did put an end to a 14-game losing streak against Cleveland in one-run ball games. So they got that going for them. We'll talk about that. Plus, a record was set for your Minnesota Lynx over the weekend. They absolutely curb-stomped the Las Vegas Aces over the weekend. We'll hit on that. And speaking of fighting and what have you, Landon Fisher, he'll be joining us as well coming up here a quarter past the hour on Fox Sports Aberdeen. David Tewksbury joined alongside by the Cobra here on a Monday morning, a dark and dreary, kind of cloudy, foggy, overcast sort of Monday. Cobes, how was your weekend, sir?
Doing good. It was pretty good. How about yourself?
Not too shabby. Family time, which was always a necessary thing. And how'd you guys play golf there on Saturday? It was you, Rockets, Doc, and somebody else, I thought I heard. And
yeah,
how were things?
How'd you
guys hit it? You won?
We won.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, 4 under. We won.
Wow. So nobody had anything going, clearly, for them on Saturday at Rolling Hills.
Oh, it was a three-way tie.
Okay.
And we birdied 8, that par 3, which was the tiebreaker.
Sure.
So we won.
Wow.
That is good stuff.
Well, that's the reason why you won, because I wasn't there, because I would have brought that team down. You guys would have been maybe even or one over or one under or something like that if I were there. So good stuff. That's got to be, I mean, probably one of the only Hub City Radio wins that we've ever had on a golf course. So feel good about it.
I do feel good about it. I had some good shots. Rusty hit some good shots. We had an all-around really nice performance, and we were stunned when they said, and the winner of this tournament is Hub City Radio. We were like, did that actually happen?
You guys got the right score cheat? Are you kidding me right now? Holy moly, 4 under.
That was a battle, too.
Yeah, I mean, typically when you're talking a scramble, the winner is usually double digits. So no disrespect to anybody else who is out there, but 4 under, that's kind of surprising.
Yeah. No, I was shocked as well. Because we've come in dead last in a lot of tournaments before.
Yes, we have. Yes, we very much have. That's definitely the case. So that's right. Victorious Hub City Radio team for sure. And feel good about that for no question about it. And I do have a sound effect in here somewhere. I got to drop in this. Yes, Hub City Radio, we have won before. There you go. That's right. Anytime I can drop in the hallelujah sounder, I'm going to take it 10 times out of 10. All right, he is the Cobra. Let's go ahead and toss this thing skyward on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A very good Monday morning to you. And our printer here at Hub City Radio has a case of the Mondays. So for those of you watching the video stream, you can see the jump is actually on our page here to the side. I did get Taryn to print out a couple of other sheets of paper from the weekend. That was on the other printer that we've had here. But, yeah, you know, typically Monday morning, you know, I'm getting in here around 5:40-ish or so, and I'm trying to get everything printed out for Doc and you and yours truly. And, yeah, the printer's just on the fritz. There's nothing like that on a Monday morning before 6 a.m. Nothing's working in the morning.
That's not a good sign to start the week, isn't it?
No, that's a bad omen. That is definitely a bad omen for sure. Well, maybe this is a good omen. We need some things to kind of turn things around. I saw this on social media on Friday. Northern State, they tweeted out a video, or they posted. Do we still say tweeted out, even though it's no longer called Twitter?
I think so. What are you going to say, X'd out?
X'd out. That doesn't make any sense. So they posted, they tweeted out, what have you. Your mileage may vary. A quick screen grab that I saw on social media was the football team with their maroon tops and new yellow pants. I'm guessing this is going to be something that they're going to be busting out at some point in time here in the not-too-distant future, maybe for some home games here at Dakota Bank Stadium. But maroon tops, not gold, but yellow pants. I'm a big jersey guy. What's the jersey combination? Tell me more. I got to tell you, I think those look pretty good.
Yeah, they reminded me a little bit of the USC ones. The USC maroon and gold or yellow bottoms that they wear.
Yeah.
That's where my mind, I think they look pretty awesome. Hopefully they break them out then next year or this upcoming year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So I'm looking forward to that. They did have I gotta say it. They had a jersey combination I wasn't crazy about this last year. The black tops and the white pants. Now to me, they wore that against USF, that first home game.
Mm-hmm.
Now maybe the fact is they didn't play very well in them, and they decided just to scrap those for the rest of the season. But I wasn't a big fan of the black tops and white pants. Now they're all black, look very, very clean.
Yeah.
But the contrast of the black on top, the white on the bottom, not a big fan.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really remember those from last year. Maybe because it was a forgettable game against USF, but. Yeah, no, I'm with you. The all-black look, I mean, you can't go wrong with the black tops, black pants. I don't think you can go wrong with that either. I mean, it's the school colors. It looks good. I'm a fan of those. Hopefully they break them out. But, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of black tops and white pants in the league or just around. And, you know, it's you can't go wrong with it, but I could see your frustration with it.
Yeah, I think maybe it was just the fact that the game wasn't very, very good.
Didn't play well.
I don't care how good you look. If you play bad in a game like that or vice versa, let's just move on to a different jersey combination, I suppose. Now, yes, we are here in the midst of NFL preseason, and as a Seattle Seahawks fan, I'm excited for Thursday. Seahawks are playing the They're taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. They're no longer in Oakland anymore. They've been all over the map. L.A., Oakland, now to Vegas. Who knows? In 3 years, they'll be in Nashville. You never know. But I will say, I'm looking forward to it. I know Vikings fans are looking forward to seeing J.J. McCarthy out there. How's he going to look? He played very well against the Raiders last year in the preseason. But head coach Mike McDonald came out the other day and said the Seahawks starters will not be playing. And I thought to myself, I get it, but the pendulum, I feel like, has swung too far to the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Tukes, what are you talking about? By that, I mean Sean McVay had this sort of radical idea. It's like, yeah, we're not playing starters in the preseason. He did that probably about a decade ago, 8, 9, 10 years ago, give or take. And it worked out for the Rams because they were really good. But there are so many teams out there that are completely different. They've got a new offensive coordinator. They've got a new offensive line coach. They've got a new quarterback coming in, a brand new set of wide receivers. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to play preseason football. Then they come out week one, week two, and then they completely you-know-what the bed, mm-hmm. and they get blown out 34-9, and you're like, ah, well, on our offense, it's got a long way to go. It's like, yeah, you had three opportunities. You had three bites at the apple to figure it out in preseason. Why aren't you jumping at the opportunity to give these guys live reps? I don't get it.
And we're not asking for a full game.
No, just a couple of – a drive.
Yeah,
a drive or two. Quarter.
Yeah, we're not asking for that much. I mean, I think it's different for each team. Like for the Seahawks and the Vikings, new quarterbacks, Sam Darnold obviously with Seattle, J.J. McCarthy, we just don't know yet. Like those are the guys you want to see reps and see them play. guys like maybe like my team, the Ravens, like I don't need to see Lamar Jackson out there in the preseason.
Correct, right.
If there's a little bit of a difference there. But I'm with you. You know, you got Sam Darnold at the helm there for Seattle. You got Vikings with J.J. McCarthy. You want to see those guys play a little bit. I even watched a little bit of the Hall of Fame game, and I saw starters and guys that you've seen on both those teams getting some reps. So I'm with you. It's they deleted a preseason game too. So instead of four, you got three games. Give the starters a series or two. What's the big deal?
Yeah, and you know they say we don't want them to get hurt. Well, you know what? You're going to get hurt regardless. If that's your mentality, it's like, oh, we want to get them to get hurt. It's like, at some point in time, it's 100% injury rate. You are going to get hurt. It's the game of football. And I get it. You want to limit those opportunities, but what's worse? Like, it's week 17, week 18. We got to win this game. Oh, because we crapped the bed week one and week two because we weren't ready.
Well, ask the Bengals about that.
Correct.
What's their record? 1-11 in the first 2 weeks of the season under Zach Taylor? Something crazy like that.
Joe Burrow, yeah.
It's unbelievable that that's a stat. I mean, we were talking about wild stats on Friday's show. There's a good one right there for you.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. So,
but to your point, you don't need to see Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and some of those guys.
And what I'll say is this, like fans like us, we'll complain weeks 1 and 2, oh, the product isn't great.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing.
So there's that too as well.
We say it all the time. Oh, what a bad product. You know why? Because none of these guys took any live, they didn't take a snap in any of the preseason games. And it's like, well, why aren't they fresh? Well, that's
there you go.
That's one of the reasons why. Speaking of the Hall of Fame game, they debuted the new virtual measurement.
Love it.
What, you like that? Okay.
I do. I think it saves us a lot of time. We don't need to get the chain gain out there. We don't need the index card or anything like that. It moves the game along. I'm okay with it. It's the same type of technology they use with tennis.
Yes.
With the in and out rule, I'm all in.
See, I don't have a hard and fast take on this because I just thought to myself and I tweeted this out, or I posted it, I X'd it out. I said, I'm sure this is not going to open up a can of worms for fans with rampant sports gambling and, hey, just trusting it. You know, during a big game, there's no chains to turn to. Maybe I'll change my mind, but right now, first glance, I don't love it.
It did take a little long, didn't it? Kind of.
For the virtual measurement?
Yeah, I was kind of waiting. I'm like, what's taking so long? We got this virtual measurement. Let's hurry it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I get a sense that at some point in time, probably during a Chiefs game, at some point in time, what's taking so long? Oh, got first down. And I'm like, what about the chain gang? Now,
that could be interesting.
And that's just it. It's opening a can of worms. I don't say I love it. I don't say I hate it. I'm just saying think about this sort of thing at some point in time down the road.
I like it from the standpoint is we're not going to wait an hour to get the game moving along. I mean, if it's an obvious – how many times have we seen they break out the chain gang and it's a yard past the sticks? You're like, can we just move on? Why do we need to get the sticks out here?
Yeah.
So for that, I like it, but I do see your argument there.
Or if it's an NSIC game, they don't even use the chain gang. They're just like, first down.
That looks close enough.
Yeah, let's just eyeball it. Call it good. Yeah, I tell you what, there's been some NSIC games, some North Star games that I've called back in the day, and it's clearly a full foot behind the line of scrimmage, and they're giving them a first down, or the line to gain, rather. I'm like, bring the chain gang out. Come on, people. But it happens. It happened all the time. Oh, man, up in Minot last year, I was about to blow a gasket. And they gave an extra yard after every single play.
Down at the 22, and they mark it at the 23.5.
Oh, my gosh. I was pulling my absolute hair out. No question about it. And finally, did you see what happened in the Rockies and Pirates game on Friday?
Yeah, I did see that.
Unbelievable stuff. Pittsburgh leads 9-0. They end up getting walked off 17-16. Now, that's a football score. Tukes, what are you talking about? The Steelers beat the Broncos last year 13-6. There was more scoring in the MLB game on Friday night between the Rockies and Pirates than there was between the Steelers and Broncos this last year. Can you believe that?
I can't. That's a crazy one. I remember seeing the score, and I got a text. Hey, McClure, I'm a big hat guy.
Sure.
And the Rockies were wearing like a City Edition hat, and I was like, oh, they're already down 9-0. The hat looks cool, but I don't know if I can buy a hat for a team that's won 28 games. And next thing you know, I go to bed, I wake up in the morning, and I see they won 17-16. Unbelievable.
Well, if nothing else, you can always give that to Ganelli. He's a big Colorado Rockies fan. So he's,
oh, yeah. Yes.
We're just talking with him about that this last week. Coming up next on the program, we're talking some wrestling. Not necessarily wrestling, but maybe a little bit of that, as Landon Fisher, former Northern State wrestler, or grappler, if you will, we'll talk a little MMA. We typically don't talk MMA, so sometimes, again, these are the really fun conversations where you get two guys that don't know a lick about the activity, sport, what have you, and it turns into a really, really fun discussion. We're anticipating one of those coming up next. Landon Fisher, he'll join us live in studio, coming up next on the Sports Hub. It's the Sports Hub on a Monday morning, cloudy, dreary, overcast, kind of feels like a Pacific Northwesterly sort of Monday here, as we're joined live in studio, Landon Fisher, taking some time out of his busy schedule to join us, talking a little Hub City Radio mix, or not Hub City Radio, Hub City Mixed Martial Arts and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, former Northern State wrestler as well. Landon, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are things?
Yeah, absolutely. Things are going well. Thanks for having me.
It's absolutely our pleasure, for sure. Did you have a nice weekend?
Yep. Good weekend. Just training right now, getting ready for a little bit of final hard stretch of training, and this week will just be getting down to weight for my fight this weekend. So
there you go. Cobra was out on the golf course on Saturday, delivering a victory for the Hub City Radio team. How about
awesome.
Them apples?
Congratulations.
Yeah, we feel really, really good about it. We're definitely taking our victory lap. I'm taking more of a victory lap than you are. I didn't even play. But nevertheless, really looking forward to this conversation here, Landon, because you're talking to two guys that aren't very immersed in the sport of MMA and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. How did you kind of get in? I know you wrestled at Northern State for a lot of years. Was it just kind of the next logical step after college, or how did that kind of work out for you?
Yeah, so I kind of got exposed to cage fighting or MMA when I was probably late middle school, early high school. It came on the TV, and I was wrestling, longtime wrestler, and I have a twin brother, and we would always just pretty much fight at home, or we weren't even allowed to be wrestling partners at practice because we just end up fighting. And yeah, I saw it on TV, and I was like, it was little guys, and I was like, wow, that looks like some. I was just blown away by it. Never seen anything like it. Knew boxing, but nothing like this. And I was doing wrestling, and then I had a teammate who was doing jiu-jitsu, and I was a little bit familiar with it, and started going in with him, and one thing led to another, and at that point, I knew I was going to eventually end up fighting, but I didn't think I was going to be able to find a gym until after I was done wrestling in college, because I was going to stick with my wrestling career. New college was the plan, new wrestling was the plan, then I knew fighting was the next plan. And then I ran into my sophomore year of college here, ran into just a friend of a friend, happened to be training in my now coach's garage, Derek Washenberger, who owns and coaches at Hub City MMA. And he was just in his garage at the time, and I'd go in and we'd train, and ended up being able to put together a fight that year, and just been running since then and really enjoying it. And yeah.
Sure.
Is the training with wrestling and MMA similar at all?
I would say it's similar. Yeah, wrestling is definitely an awesome base for MMA because in the sport you have striking, you have punching, kicking, and grappling, which would be wrestling and jiu-jitsu. And then just the wrestling kind of gives you the ability to kind of take the fight where you want it. If you want to stay on the feet, you're able to stop those takedowns. If you want to take it down to the mat or the canvas, then you have that ability to do so as well.
I told you before we jumped on, you're going to hear a lot of dumb questions. But in your first kind of statement there, I was thinking to myself, and this just popped into my head, do you think at some point in time that we'll see MMA as a college sport? I mean, obviously you've got wrestling, just regular wrestling. We've got that here at the D2 level, certainly at Northern State. But do you think at some point MMA is going to find its way into Division One and Division Two and just college athletics in general? Is there too much liability? I mean, what do you think there?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. I know the trajectory of the sport is going really fast. It's blown up really quick, and it's grown in popularity for sure. Yeah, but in terms of, like, just its danger and it's something that you can't compete in very often. And I don't know, it would just be interesting to see what that would look like at, like, a NCAA type, because you probably end up only fighting three times a year.
A couple times a year, right?
Yeah, it's probably pretty typical. And you never know when you're going to be able to fight next. Even on a good win, you could get beat up pretty good. Mm-hmm. And you kind of don't know when you'll be able to compete next. But I guess we'll see, you know.
Time will tell.
You never know, yeah.
For sure.
So how many fights are you, would you say, fight in a year? Is it difficult to kind of find fights at all?
Yeah, for me it's especially difficult in this area at such a low weight class. It's already kind of a small scene in the Midwest, I'd say. And then on top of that, there's only, I think online you can find, I'm one of two people in my weight class in North and South Dakota.
Mm.
And then in the Midwest, it's only a couple hundred. And a lot of guys don't seem to want to be fighting wrestlers. So that's another added layer of difficulty finding opponents. And that's why you've seen I've fought at higher weight classes and stuff, just getting what I can get. So
we've talked with a fair amount of, as Landon Fisher joins us here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, we talked with a fair amount of Brown County Speedway racers this summer.
Okay.
And they talk about traveling to Grand Forks, or they're going down to Sioux Falls or something like that. So for you, there's not a whole lot of opportunities around here. You're traveling kind of all over the place just to get fights. I mean, obviously you're going to Iowa here in the not-too-distant future. We'll talk about that. But, I mean, where do you typically go? Is it always in the Midwest, or do you go to each coast? What does that kind of look like?
Yeah, so right now I'm an amateur fighter.
Okay.
So they don't they'll pay for travel and stuff, but typically they're looking for drive-in athletes. So I've fought as far as my last fight was down in Iowa. Yeah, Iowa, about 7 hours away. This next fight will be a few hours away. I've fought in Minnesota, I've fought in Omaha, kind of close enough, but yeah, traveling always. Fights come down to Sioux Falls here and there, which is nice and close. I haven't fought in Sioux Falls, never fought in South Dakota, so hopefully getting, once I turn pro though, to continue with your question, hopefully soon, then they're more willing to fly you out to different places and put that investment in athletes so you could be fighting, yeah, anywhere in the country, really.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of piggyback off of what you just said, how does one turn pro? Do you have to have X amount of fights, or how does it work?
Yeah, so funny enough, there's no requirement to turn pro. You basically just elect yourself to turn pro.
Okay.
And once you turn pro, you can't turn back amateur. So once you're pro, you're pro. So really the idea of amateur fighting is the rules are a little bit different. Sometimes, so if you've seen on the UFC, they're throwing elbows and knees to the head. It's state by state, but a lot of times you can't do that kind of thing, and it's just supposed to kind of get you some experience in the cage a little bit, hopefully lower risk experience in the cage before you turn pro. So I've had 7 fights, which is probably a normal average amateur career to kind of feel comfortable, and it's really whatever person. We were talking about Logan Storley a little bit. I want to say he maybe had a couple, if any, amateur fights, but I know times have changed too. Back then, there probably wasn't much of an amateur scene in general.
Yeah, it
feels. And a lot of times, sorry, if no, guys have, if guys have a strong base in a discipline, so mixed martial arts, all the disciplines. If somebody's a, let's say, a world class kickboxer going into MMA, they may just take a couple and already have a really strong base in their own discipline. Like Storley was a very strong wrestler. He was able to use that wrestling right away. Didn't probably take much amateur and dove right into to pro fighting.
Mm-hmm. So MMA and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, what's the difference between the two, and how did you choose kind of the MMA side of things? Or are you in both?
Yeah, I train all the disciplines at my gym with Derek. We do kickboxing and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's just kind of all the elements that you use in MMA. So I'll train. Typically, I'll kind of, we'll just say we're splitting up practices. I still go in and wrestle when I can. So I'm still working wrestling. I'm working Jiu-Jitsu, and I'm working my striking, my kickboxing, and you just kind of implement it all into MMA.
Is there like a style of fighting for, like, is there like a, are you like classified as like a grappler or something like that?
Yeah, okay. On paper, I would be probably put down as a grappler, just with my base in wrestling. A striker would be maybe someone had a boxing discipline growing up, kickboxing, taekwondo discipline kind of thing growing up. They would probably be categorized as a striker. Usually striker, grappler would be kind of categorized, I guess you'd say.
Landon Fisher here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Does the fact that you were a college wrestler and doing it at a pretty high level, does that go against you in terms of this new discipline? Because, like you said, people don't want to wrestle you. It's almost you don't want to keep that stuff like under wraps. Like you don't want to tell anybody what you used to do back in the day, or they're like, they Google you or something like that, and they figure it out. Hey, this guy was a pretty good D2 wrestler. I mean, what's that kind of like?
Yeah, maybe that's hurting me. I mean, it's obviously benefited me. It's made me a much better fighter. I contribute a lot of my success to college wrestling and what I was able to do in wrestling. But yeah, sometimes I wish they couldn't look me up so they didn't see kind of some of my accolades, I guess. Yeah, I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
How important is like a social media presence?
It's huge.
Can you kind of talk a little bit about that and try to, because you're trying to promote yourself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of your best asset in terms of promotion, especially starting out at such a regional kind of scene. It's just however best you can build yourself up, especially for somebody like me. I'd say Logan Storley was very popular. Well, I guess we'll just keep using him as an example.
Sure. We were talking about Logan Storley off the air for people that are like, are you talking about Logan Storley? Yeah, we were talking about him off
the
air.
He was very popular, you'd say famous, not, but just in terms of the wrestling world before he entered MMA, so you kind of already have that following. You'll see a lot of guys who already have a large following go into MMA. I don't know if you guys know who Gable Stevenson
I've heard of
is.
Him. He was a Minnesota wrestler, right?
Yeah, Olympic champ, Minnesota wrestler. Very, very, very famous. Sounds like he's probably thinking about fighting. He's got a crazy following already. He's not going to have any trouble getting paid to fight and getting fights. But yeah, generally somebody getting into MMA, your best asset's going to be promoting yourself however you can. It's kind of hard because you kind of want to have that, at least I got from wrestling, kind of like that humble mentality that you don't want to kind of pump yourself up. But on the flip side, you have to be putting stuff out there and getting people to watch, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to make those jumps. A great fighter and an average fighter, but you got an average fighter who's pumping themselves out on social media and getting that following, they're going to be getting those opportunities. It's just, that's the name of the game, is who's going to watch you fight. So
yeah, that's one thing I've kind of noticed about South Dakota people in general. They're not very flashy in terms of, hey, everyone, look at me. People in South Dakota are pretty quiet. You know, they're not very self-promotion-y, if that's a word. It is now, I guess. But yeah, you're kind of going outside of your comfort zone. You're a Rapid City guy, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're a South Dakotan. Is it tough for you to kind of be more boisterous and self-promotion-y?
Yeah, it's something I'm still trying to work on as I transition to pros, kind of figuring out how I'm going to try to build this thing up and kind of develop a little bit of an internet presence, if you would say. Something that I'm going to have to start thinking about and working on a little bit. But yeah, I've never been one to – I've had Instagram and stuff, but not one to kind of really pump myself on that much.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of walk us through – Your first fight in the ring a little bit, maybe the difference from, like, you know, obviously you're a D2 wrestler and you kind of have that mano-y-mano, you're going up against the guy, but, you know, it's a little bit different wrestling and you're trying to knock a guy out, right, when you're in the MMA ring.
Yeah, it's similar, so I think I was probably a lot better prepared than probably most people going into a cage fight, just haven't been in dual setting or big tournament, state championship, regional tournament, stuff like that. So I've kind of had that exposure to being in front of a crowd with just you and another person. But there's something different about going in there knowing, you know, you're trying to hurt somebody.
Yeah,
trying to hurt you. It's me or them kind of thing. And I think we did it kind of really smart for myself. I had my first MMA fight scheduled, and it got canceled. And we found another MMA fight. We decided to take a kickboxing fight before my MMA fight. So kickboxing would be big gloves, like boxing, but kicks, I'd explain it
that, yeah,
is kickboxing. So we took a kickboxing to see where my striking was at, because I had jiu-jitsu background, wrestling background. We just kind of, I'd been training kickboxing, just wanted to see where we were at. And it was just a low-stakes regional kind of kickboxing fight up in Medina, Minnesota. And I remember being so, so, so nervous and antsy in the back. I didn't think that I would be that crazy nervous, but I was, by the time I got to the cage, just that adrenaline dump, first round, I was gassed. I like to think I have a pretty darn good gas tank, and I was just, my muscles were shot. It was a battle to finish that fight, ended up winning that one. But it was really good because I kind of got that first one out of the way, knew how I was going to feel going in, had my first MMA fight down in Omaha, and it was like a different story. Felt way better, able to stay calm. It's just really about kind of, you'd think you want to just fire yourself up to get in the cage against somebody like all fired up, but really it's just staying calm. You know what you did in the gym to prepare. Now you just show your skills and try to kind of calm yourself as best you can.
Yeah, everyone's got their own way of kind of getting pumped up or, yeah, I guess, dialed back before a big bout. We'll take a quick time out right now. More with Landon Fisher on Fox Sports Aberdeen after a quick break. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Daily sports talk show Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Smash that like button and share the stream. And, you know, it's actually appropriate to actually say smash the like button as we're joined with Landon Fisher here of MMA, Hub City MMA, and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well. So you're going to be traveling down to Spirit Lake, Iowa, coming up on August the 9th, which is this Saturday. You're taking on, I'm guessing Mr. Shannon, is that the best way
to
describe him?
That's my best guess on his name, too.
Yeah, it just says Fisher versus Shannon. So the flyweight championship is coming up here. What's kind of your week of preparation look like? Is it just a lot of hitting the gym, eating right, trying to get good sleep? I mean, what's this week kind of looking like for you?
Yep, I hate to correct you really quick, but we'll be in Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Okay.
Casino, Spirit Lake.
That's right. Spirit Lake Casino and Resort. Yep, you're right. Yep, absolutely.
All good. But yeah, as far as this week, typically a training cycle or training camp, fight camp, what you'd call it, is typically going to be probably 5 to 8 weeks. So been training a long time. Last week was kind of our last hard week. This past weekend, we did our last sparring, kind of final hard practice. And then this week will just be tapered off. So I'll typically do kind of the same things that I would do any other week, just kind of ramped back a little bit, and then the weight cut is just kind of the big thing this week. So it'll be more just staying moving, hitting the bag, hitting mitts, grappling, just with the idea kind of lose that last bit of weight and just feel really good, kind of recover, make weight, and then showtime, just kind of treat it the same and have those last kind of final touches, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk about making weight and just some videos that I've seen of, like, Patty the Batty doing it things like that. I mean, he's kind of more the extreme how he does it. But, I mean, can you kind of just walk us through, is it nerve-wracking when you step on the scale sometimes and you're trying, like, yes, you put in all the work, but if I, you know, don't make weight here, I mean, that's it almost, right? Is that fair?
Yeah. It's stressful. I've been doing it for so long with wrestling that it comes a lot easier for me, probably. But, I mean, like you explained, some of those extreme cases, these guys are absolutely killing themselves on the scale to make that weight. For me, it's not near that much. I won't see how much weight I cut, but it's not too bad and got it dialed in. The nice thing is, so for these fights, you weigh in on 24 hours. In wrestling, you would weigh in the morning of and then compete that day. In MMA, you weigh in the afternoon before, evening before, and you don't fight till the following day.
Okay.
So you kind of have that whole time period to put fuel back in your body, feel good. So in wrestling, I need to make sure that I'm down to weight, but I'm feeling good enough to where I can turn around and wrestle in 2 hours, whereas here you kind of take a little bit of a different weight-cutting approach. You're probably cutting out a lot more water with the idea of you want to get down to weight, but you also want to be as big as you can be by the time that you step in the cage. So you'll do a lot of sweating the last day before and then turn around, put fluids back in, food back in, feel good. Usually you're feeling great by the time that you step into the cage.
It's Landon Fisher versus Ramon Shannon coming up this Saturday on August the 9th there up north in North Dakota at Spirit Lake Casino. Take us through fight night, you know, with you. Take us into your brain. You know, you're getting ready. You're getting prepared. You're getting not so pumped up because, like you talked about that earlier in our first segment, but just in general, walk us through fight night for you.
Yeah, we touched on it earlier, but really it's just reminding yourself that you're ready. Just you've done all the hard work. I heard a quote from a big UFC fighter champion. He was just saying that the win happens in training camp, and that night you just show up to collect. So you're reminding yourself. We'll say I wake up, making sure that I'm refueling that day, and I'm just trying really not to think about the fight. I'm around my twin brother will be up there, my coach will be up there, around people that I can relax around, feel good about it. We'll get a shakeout workout in the morning. Hopefully get up into the cage, get a feel of what the environment's going to be like, see the area, chill out, eat, drink. And then, yeah, they'll get you situated in the fight locker room, and then it's a lot of waiting because I think I'll probably be the last fight of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get in the locker room. And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
You'd rather be first or
get
it over with?
Yeah. The more you sit there, the more you're inevitably thinking about it. But I've been there before. I'm ready. It's actually so I have my twin brother that's going to be up there coaching me, and I have a little brother. He's 21, and he trains out of Sioux Falls, and he's actually going to be fighting on the same card earlier. I have my little brother, and then Austin Manu, my teammate, is going to be having his debut too. So they'll be going out there before me, and I'll go out and do the thing, and should be a good day.
Now, do you watch like film on your opponent? I mean, obviously not like, you know, the day of the fight maybe, but like leading up, is there a lot of film out there, a lot of film study like you see in like, you know, football or basketball, some other sports?
Yeah, it can be harder just at the regional scene. I think you probably only would have access to one or two of my fights that you could go watch. I've had seven of them. So a lot of them aren't getting recorded, and it's kind of hard to find film. But you definitely – and some people might approach it differently, but we'll see what the opponent's about, just get an idea of his style, whether they're fighting orthodox or southpaw, would just be how they lead their feet. Just get an idea of their style. And then kind of use that to implement a little bit of a game plan. But for us, at least, we're just more worried about us. If the best us shows up, then we know it doesn't matter what they got going on. A lot of people might spend too much time thinking, oh, he does exactly this, he does exactly this. Well, for one, he may not do that same thing. These guys are young and growing and changing all the time. And, if you're just worried about yourself and implementing your game plan, that's kind of how we like to approach it anyway.
Austin's actually going to join us tomorrow.
Awesome.
On the show. We're looking forward to that. I got to ask about the tattoos. You're quite a bit tattooed up, or tatted up anyway.
Yeah.
Walk us through them, and how did they kind of come about?
Oh, man.
You don't have to do – I don't know if we don't have time for all of them, but –
That's okay. Yeah, I was kind of talk about it. I started getting tattoos. My parents would not sign off on tattoos. They did not want me to get tattoos at all. But I got my first one when I was 18, and every single time it's the first time I got tattoos, it's because there are these fighters that I saw have tattoos. I was gonna get.
Feels like it's a prerequisite.
Is there a camera in here?
There is a camera. Yeah, right up there.
Okay, so I got like my chest done and my arm done and a little bit of my arm and my leg done. I thought I was only gonna get one and two. I wanted one here, and I wanted my ribs. And then I was like, I'll be happy with that. And then I start following more fighters, and I'm like, man, I just want to be just like that guy.
Sure.
And they're covered in tattoos, and it's kind of addicting. I don't know if you guys got tattoos.
None for me.
No, but my cousin says that.
It's
like,
hard
you
to
get
stop.
One, he's got his all, he's got his
sleeve.
Arm, he's got his arm tatted up.
Yeah.
And he said he got one, and it's like, he always was like, I need to find out what the next one's going to be.
Yeah.
You got to find out, is that kind of how it is?
The same way, it's kind of like now I just want to, like, it was miserable one summer. I was working on my chest, and it was unfinished. I'm like, I just need to get back in there and finish it. And then I finished my arm. I told myself I'd be happy when my chest was done and my arm was done. And then I'd go in and get my leg done. And now I'm waiting to figure out what's going to go on my left arm.
Make an impact.cm or what is that?
Yeah, this was Caden Moore.
Oh, sure. Yep.
From Northern, something for him. And yep. I've got some of my beliefs and values on my right arm, and some are just to look cool.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I don't got a special story for every single one, but yeah, I just like them, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, final one before we get you out of here, and again, thanks for taking some time and joining us.
Absolutely.
How do people follow along? Is this a pay-per-view? Is this on YouTube, or is this out there? Where can people find it? On a Facebook page or something?
Yeah, I want to say that this location, I guess we'll have to wait and see if there's some sort of stream
or whatever. Yeah.
If the best way to kind of stay up to date on the fights and stuff would just be following me on Instagram or Facebook, just Landon Fisher, you'd be able to find me, or Landon Fish is typically the best way to find me. And
sweet. Final thoughts, comments?
Yeah, no, really excited. A big fight, hopefully kind of put a cherry on top of my amateur career and turn pro moving forward. So
this
really excited about this weekend. Yeah, hopefully.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, wish you the best of
title, taking home to Aberdeen, yeah. Yeah.
There you go. That'd be sweet. Well, best of luck to you. Stay healthy here this week. I feel like that's like a thing. It's like you almost don't want to like go out in public or anything like that and like catch the sniffles or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Stay healthy, train hard, or I guess finish up your training and whatnot, and good luck this upcoming weekend.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. Landon Fisher here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Come on back and wrap up this Monday installment of The Hub after this. Our thanks to Landon Fisher taking some time out of his busy schedule and joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And
great bet.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm looking exactly. No, I kind of worked out that way. But, you know, this is a sport I know next to nothing about. And every time we have somebody new in studio talking about something that's kind of outside of, for lack of a better term, our comfort zone, mm-hmm. This is the definition of outside of your comfort zone. Can you imagine being punched in the face by that guy?
No.
No, I don't want to be.
I don't want it, no.
Oh, golly. But I'm looking forward to it.
It's just a different level of mentality.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it is. It's a different level of being dialed in. You know, because it's so much individual, and like you said, you're trying to hurt somebody, you know, in the ring. You know, and some of these other sports, yes, it's more of a team game. Like this is mano a mano. You're trying to hurt somebody, and you know, I wouldn't say I'm definitely foreign when it comes to MMA. I've watched a little bit of it, some of the clips and training videos to kind of get me motivated to actually train and lose some weight, but. I mean, when you're in the fight, I mean, I just can't imagine like stepping foot in a cage, and you got somebody there trying to beat the heck out of you.
Yeah, take your head off. I don't get it. And you know what? Those that do it, God bless you. We're rooting for you, and we're rooting for Landon coming up this weekend up north in North Dakota. And I got to tell you, one thing, it's kind of like hockey, where after you beat the living daylights out of each other, you shake hands and hug. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, that's tough.
How do you do that? You're literally trying to knock this guy's block off, and the next thing you know, he's dapping you up afterwards. Hey, man, good fight. It's
crazy.
Well,
I think it's just some sign of respect. I mean, he talked about his training block. I mean, you block out 8 to 12 weeks training, and it's hard, and everybody does it. So, I mean, you can guarantee that, you know, his opponent put in time. All these other fighters, and we're going to be talking to the guy tomorrow, he's put in a ton of time as well. So that's where I get I respect a lot of, you know, wrestlers and MMA, and, you know, the time that they put in on their body each and every week is really incredible.
It's probably some of these guys' training session is like a year or a couple of years for people like you and me. You know?
100%. I'd love to see. I mean, I bet he probably trains, you know, 2.5 hours a day. I'd have to guess. Maybe that I could be off base on that, but I guarantee you he trains 5 to 7 days a week.
Oh, he's going hard for sure, and wishing him nothing but the best of luck up there in North Dakota. Well, a new champion has officially been crowned in some Legion baseball action as Harrisburg, post 45. They down Yankton, post 12 on Saturday in the Class A Legion Baseball Championship, as that's the 7 seed over the 2 seed. As Harrisburg, they go unscathed throughout that entire tournament. There were upsets galore. There were some games in which that people for lack of a better term, didn't have on their bingo card. But Harrisburg, the champion, that's their second State A championship in the last 3 years. So two of the last three go to the Gold Squad. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, and, you know, you see a seventh seed, it didn't really matter for them. Because the way they played, they got some just great pitching all week long. And if you can get that, you can find yourself in a great position at the end of the day. Pitching in playoff baseball is the biggest part. That and clutch hitting, I'd say, is one and two when you're talking about playoff baseball. And got to give a lot of credit to that Harrisburg squad, man. I mean, that's an impressive stretch. We talked about it after the show on Friday. I just couldn't believe how competitive these games were, game in and game out, and Harrisburg came out on top.
Yeah, we were saying it's really high-quality baseball, and it certainly was here this last weekend in Watertown. And we were also talking on the air with Landon Fisher about Brown County Speedway and people that we've interviewed this year. And no surprise that Chad Becker, your winner there in the Wasota Late Models, and Mike Stearns, the winner in the Wasota Modified. So, hey, maybe this is a good omen for Landon. We had him on the show.
Yes.
Good things could be coming for him coming up this weekend.
Looking forward to it, man.
Sure hope so. Coming up next on the program, we'll have Austin Manu. That'll be tomorrow at 10.